Gemara Bavash says, "Ein oimrim kiddush hayoim ella al hayayin haraui li noseich al gabe hamizbech." Very fascinating halacha. You're only allowed to make kiddush hayoim, Friday night, on a yayin that is fitting to be poured on the mizbech. Now we all know that every korban that is brought in the Beis Hamikdash, without any exception, is accompanied by a mincha, a meal offering, and yayin, nesachim. Depending on what the korban, what is in the korban, what kind of animal it is, wine accompanies the bring of the animal, and the wine is poured on the top of the mizbeach in a special spout. That's called nesachim. The rules for the yayin that are used for nesachim, pasuk says yayin v'sheicha. There are certain rules, are very specific conditions of what kind of yayin can be used to pour it on the mizbeach. One of the conditions that we demand, the Torah demands, okay, we assume this because the pasuk says ordinary yayin, is it should be pure, meaning no additives, no sugar, no honey, no sulfur, no impurities, pure grape juice. Grape juice, now there's something called yayin neshecher, there's fresh wine and there's old wine. Old wine in halacha does not mean it's 10 years old, 20 years old. You have these exotic bottles of wine that are aged, that are sitting in a certain basement, and have not been moved. The psukim that mention this type of idea of a very old aged wine. But old wine in halacha is 40 days. That's it. 40 days. That's all so it takes.
Fresh grape juice would not be ideal.
Oh no, fresh grape juice is ideal. For the nesachim, you're allowed to pour on the mizbeach. If I'm not mistaken, you're allowed to pour either or. If I'm not mistaken, when it comes to the nesachim, it doesn't matter. You can pour fresh grape juice is ideal. Or you can pour even aged wine. But the point is, the only condition that you, if I'm not mistaken, the only condition that you are is required for the mizbeach is that the yayin be pure. It not be diluted, or not diluted, and it not be mixed with sugar or any other foreign matter, and it should not be cooked, because once you cook the wine, you boil the wine, it's no longer called yayin. Why is it no longer called yayin? It no longer has potential to ferment. In order for yayin to turn into alcohol, it has to ferment.
So
once you cook it,
juice would not be acceptable.
Exactly. So therefore, if you take the Gemara's words literally, the Gemara says, "Ein oim kiddush hayom el al yayin haroy li nosach gavi hamizbeach." Then our wines that we have today, almost every single one of them would be disqualified. Now let's go further. That's the Gemara. Then the Rambam. Let's now go through the entire process. That's what it says in the Gemara. The Rambam says, "Ein mikachin ella al hayayin haroy legabe hamizbech." The Rambam elaborates upon the Gemara. The Rambam gives us a bayer on the Gemara. Lefichach, therefore, the Rambam says, "Im nisarev boi devash." If you add into the yayin honey, or yeast, afilu kitipas hachardol, even like a tipa, a smallest amount, like a kernel of a mustard seed, b'chavis gedol, of a massive barrel, and you put into the barrel even a teeny particle, a teeny kernel of a seed of a mustard, ein mikachin of honey or of dvash or yeast, ein mikachin alav. Why? Now the Rambam's words are very precise because it says ki chol se'or b'chol dvash loisaktiru mimenu ishe lahashem. The Torah explicitly states that you're not allowed to offer on the mizbeach yeast and dvash. Okay, we sit in davening every single day. V'haloi, when it comes to the ketores, there are certain things, if you put a small amount of honey in the ketores, it would make it much better. No, it's a gezeres hakosef. Ki chol se'or v'chol dvash loisaktiru mimenu ishe lahashem. It is categorically forbidden to offer on the mizbeach yeast or honey. So the Rambam understands the Gemara to mean that the Yayin that's going to be disqualified for Kiddush, the Rambam focuses not on sugar, not on cooked wine. The Rambam, when he mentions that the Yayin has to be roy to go on the Mizbeach, the Rambam understands the Gemara, the issue is honey. The issue is yeast. Because on the Mizbeach, it is forbidden to put on the Mizbeach honey to offer as part of a carbon devash and yeast. So if you're going to add these two ingredients into the Yayin, and you're going to, then the Yayin is disqualified, not because the Yayin is no longer called Yayin. The Yayin is Yayin. It's delicious wine. It's because you have an ingredient that the Torah blacklists. The Torah says you're not allowed to put in the Yayin honey or yeast. Now from the Rambam it's mashmal, the way he understands the Gemara, let's say you have Yayin and you add sugar, which is extremely common. Almost every wine, from what I'm reading over here, is almost every wine today has sugar, even wines that are dry wines and certainly semi-dry wines. Most wines today, especially the cheaper wines, are so bitter. They're so bitter, in order for them to be called even semi-dry or even dry, they have to add a little bit of sugar to get out the bitterness. So when you drink the wine, you don't taste any sweetness. When you taste a dry wine, a semi-dry wine, you're not going to taste any sweetness. But yet there's sugar. Why is there sugar if it's a dry wine? Because if there wasn't sugar, it wouldn't just taste neutral. It would taste bitter. So does that disqualify the wine? No. It does not disqualify the wine. Why does it not? Because the Rambam understands the Gemara. There's a very important leniency in why today almost every single wine that we use is okay. Because no wine you buy today has honey in the wine. No one puts honey in wine today. No one puts yeast in wine. But it seems that in ancient times they did this. This was very, very common. It was very common to sweeten wine. They didn't use sugar. They used honey.
And that's what med is. Med is wine.
Yeah,
with
it's,
honey.
It's called mead.
Mead. Okay. So this
it's
so,
called med, but mead. Spelled mead. Yeah, you're right.
Akri v'chsev. So this is what the Rambam over here is giving us, a very powerful hesber in the Gemara. And in other words, according to the Rambam, a wine today that is mixed with sugar, it's not pure. Or a wine today that has been cooked, which means it no longer has potential to ferment. When you take wine and you cook the wine, you kill it. You kill its life. Yayin is a living organism. When you leave yayin alone, it grows, it develops, it transforms into a new being, into something which is intoxicating. But if you take this yayin and you cook it, you put it in Gehenim, then you stump its growth. It no longer has the ability to be transformed into a beverage which will intoxicate, which basically means pasteurization. Today, all of our wines are pasteurized, which means they're cooked at a high temperature. And the goal of pasteurization is not because we want to prevent it from turning into alcohol, it's because we want to kill the bacteria. Any pollutants or bacteria that may be present in the yayin, which can be lethal to a person whose immune system is compromised, is eliminated through the process of pasteurization, but it also prevents the yayin from transforming, developing into an alcoholic beverage, which no longer is what is called yayin. So is that valid to be used? Is that valid for Kiddush? Well, is that valid to be put on the Mizbeach? No, it's not. Is yayin that's diluted with sugar, is it valid to be put on the Mizbeach? No, it's not. But it's not what the Gemara says according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, the prohibition to use for Kiddush yayin that's not fit to be used on the Mizbeach is only referring to a yayin that has, you have added ingredients that the Torah explicitly blacklists, which is honey and sa'ar. So this is the Rambam's Chiddush. The Gemara just says, Stam, Ein oimim Kiddush ahayoyim el al hayayin horoy linosech al gabi ha-Mizbeach. And the Rambam says, Ein mekadshin ela al hayayin haroili nosech al gabi hamizbech lefichoch. The Rambam continues, Im nisarev bo devash, or yeast, the two items the Torah explicitly says is forbidden. Afilu kitipa sachardol bechovis gedoli, even a teeny mashahu in a very large container, ein mekadshin olav, kach onu moirin bechol hamaarav. The Rambam says this is the accepted halachic decision in the West, where the Rambam lived. Whatever the West means, I'm not sure exactly what is included in that statement of the West. Spain, what is he calling here the West? Western civilization? I'm not exactly sure what he means, but that's what it is. Now let's go further. Okay, so we're going through the process, the halachic process, the Talmud, then the Rambam, and now we come to the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. So the Beis Yosef, there's the Tur, right? The Tur quotes the Rambam word for word. Tur quotes the Rambam. And then the Beis Yosef who wrote a commentary on the Tur. And he writes, Sheroiv Rishonim Hechriyoy Lohokel. Most Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. Who are most Rishonim? I'm assuming it's the Rosh and the Rif. They disagree. B'yayin Hamu'uriv Bo Devash. Shaloi nemar psul ir of dvash rak legabe yayin esachim dechsev boy kol sar v'chol dvash loy staktidu mimenu isha lahashem aval legabe kiddush kevon she'en hadvash megareya chashivus ve'erech hayayin uveprat kishe'erev tibas hadvash kechardol v'chavis gedoylo she'enu murgash klal lomo yiposel lekiddush hayoyim. Now, thank you very, very much for the coffee. Thank you.
Good.
Now, in other words, Beis Yosef says, he says, I'm not really certain what he does with the Gemara. And let me read you one more line over here. The Tam, the Rambam, Yain l'kiddush yesh l'gamri ha-kiddusha v'chashiv s'yayin nesachim. Okay, I'm not really certain what he does with the Gemara. But it's clear as day that the Beis Yosef disagrees. The Beis Yosef is of the opinion that we don't paskin like this Rambam. Now, it's not really clear if the Beis Yosef means that we don't paskin like the Rambam, because we're making a distinction between honey versus sugar. Honey and sa'ar are explicitly blacklisted. Sugar is not honey. Sugar is an entirely different item. The Torah does not make mention of sugar. Sugar does not take away, it's not blacklisted, and when you add a small amount of sugar into the yayin and you give it to a person to drink, they will tell you, this is wine. This tastes like wine. So you can't say that it's not yayin. This is yayin. Oh, but would this be fit to put on the Mizbeach? No, it would not be fit to put on the Mizbeach. But that's not what the Gemara says. When the Gemara says that the Yayin may not go on the Mizbeach, it only refers to Yayin that has a black-listed ingredient, like Devash V'Sa'ar. Being that this only has sugar, or has other ingredients, or has been pasteurized, so what? It looks like Yayin, it smells like Yayin, it tastes like Yayin, it's a terrorist. It's, I don't know if you know what I'm referring to. It's yayin. As a stiff from the Tanya about a duck. It looks like a duck. It quacks like a duck. It does like a duck. It goes all the way. Then it's a terrorist. He was referring to the Arabs. In any event, but if yayin looks like yayin, tastes like yayin, smells like yayin, it's yayin. Finished. Kiddush you make on yayin. Oh, but there's a Gemara, and the Gemara says that if the yayin is not fit to go on the Mizbeach, you're not going to go use it. Yeah, the Gemara just means to say, like what the Rambam says exactly, Devash and Sa'ar. Does your yayin go into a wine store? How many wines do you have in the wine store that have added honey? None. How many wines have they added yeast? None. Doesn't exist. Therefore, these wines are fine. Oh, but you're going to tell me, but it's not kosher to go on the Mizbeach because it's diluted? And according to what we understand, that when it comes to the Mizbeach for the Nesachim, if you have diluted, we have wine that's been cooked, or wine that has sugar, it's no longer pure, and it's not fit for the Mizbeach. All right, so maybe it's not good for the Mizbeach, but it's still called yayin, and it's good enough. As long as it's not explicitly blacklisted from going on the mizbeach because of dvash and because of sa'ar. And that, the Beis Yosef says, what we rely upon, and that's what we do today, because if we're not going to do this today, guess what? You're not going to have wine to drink, because most people today, at least in time of the Beis Yosef, were not able to drink yayin. The yayin was of such poor quality that they were unable to drink yayin unless you would dilute it, where you would add some sugar, and you would do some other things in order to make it edible. So therefore, the minhag is to be lenient and to make kiddush on these types of wines which have sugar, or have other ingredients added, or have been pasteurized, because yayin is yayin. And the Gemara that makes the equation to the Mizbeach is only in regard to items that are explicitly blacklisted. So we are lenient. Now, that's what the Beis Yosef writes on his commentary on the Rambam, which is quoted in the Torah. Now, the Beis Yosef, he wrote his own Shulchan Aruch with the comments of the Ramah. And let's see what it says over there. What
do
is this?
They say the word sugar? Because I don't think they had sugar as a condiment.
There right, so no they only had then honey. They used
right, they
honey.
They didn't have sugar. There was no sugar.
So it's a new thing. So now, yeah. when did sugar come? When did sugar come into?
I don't know, from sugar cane. So,
but it
I mean,
came
this
later.
Is a relatively new thing.
Yes, it
I mean,
is.
Relatively in historical. I mean, as far as I know, that's what I would assume.
Okay, let's see what it says now in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mekachin al Yayin. So the Ramah, so the Mechaber himself. The Beis Yosef himself, who comments on this, he says something very, very extreme in Shulchan Aruch. He says, "The mekatshin al hayayin, even sheyesh boy devash." The Mechaber goes so far to thoroughly reject the Rambam, even an item that is explicitly blacklisted in the Torah. Even that yayin you can make kiddush on. That's the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef. The Ramah is not so happy with this. The Ramah feels that the Beis Yosef went a little too far. Just because the Mechaber says, he goes too far, Hoysef, the minug is l'kadesh olav, afilu yesh lo yayin acher rak, the Ramah says one condition: you don't have anything else. If you have other wine, it would be better to be chayish ledivrei Harambam and for the Gemara, not to use wine that has honey or has anything else mixed inside. It's still better not to use wine that is completely pure. Now, the one that talks about sugar, is sugar equal to wine?
Yeah.
To dvash. The pre-Megadim is machmir, and he says, not like everything that I've told you, there's no difference between sugar and honey. It's all the same. Whatever rule applies to honey applies to sugar, and the Mishnah Berurah cites the Prima Gadim. So Sach HaKol, let's review everything that we learned again, and then we'll go quick and talk about some of the different issues. Sach HaKol, we have a Gemara, and the Gemara says the Yayin has to be fit for the Mizbeach. The Rambam elaborates on this Gemara, and he says, what does it mean fit for the Mizbeach? There is no honey or yeast. The Rambam is not talking about the 21st century, where we anyway don't put in honey or yeast, but we do put into the wine other ingredients to sweeten it, which all different types of sweeteners, but not honey and not yeast. The Rambam makes no mention whatsoever of sugar. And he says that the Gemara is referring to wine that has honey or yeast, which is explicitly blacklisted. The Beis Yosef, commenting on this Rambam, who we know the Beis Yosef, he took together the three major Rishonim, the Rosh, the Rif, and the Rambam, and generally he took a vote. He took a vote how the three Poskim decided. He took the Rambam, the Rosh, and the Rif, whoever was the majority, that became his psak halacha in Shulchan Aruch. He followed a scientific approach to halacha, and he rejects the Rambam. He says the Rambam, when it says in the Gemara, basically he seems to be saying that we don't accept this Gemara. This Gemara is a very nice Gemara. It appears he's saying it's more like Divrei Agoda, shocking thing to say, right? And it's not lahalacha, we don't accept it. We don't accept lahalacha, and therefore when it comes to Kiddush, you can make Kiddush whenever you want. As long as it tastes like wine, it looks like wine, it smells like wine, it's called wine. And in Shulchan Aruch, when the Beis Yosef writes the halacha, he says exactly that, even if there is honey, it is 100% valid for Kiddush. The Ramah, Minig Ashkenaz, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, says, not so fast. You could only do this if that's all you got. But if you have something else, something better, that does not have honey mixed inside, better use wine that does not have any mixture. Today, it's not Nogei Halacha L'mayis anyway, because today we don't have wines that have honey and these things mixed inside. Along comes the Pri Megadim, and he says, sorry to disappoint you, but sugar, as far as I'm concerned, has exactly the same status as honey. It's all the same. It's not pure. Therefore, the bottom line is for Ashkenazim, it is preferred to use wine that is pure to fulfill what it says in the Gemara. But if you don't have anything else but wine that has honey or has been, for that matter, pasteurized, then it's okay. You can use it. Halacha l'maisa, most grape juice, I'm not exactly sure. I think they keep on changing. A lot of grape juice also has sugar. They also add sugar today into most grape juice because it all depends on, you know, it all depends on the year. It all depends on the product. When the product is bitter, they don't have a choice. No one's going to buy it. The market's not going to accept it. They have to add sugar even into grape juice. So grape juice also today, look on the label, also usually has sugar added. And it's certainly pasteurized, that's for sure. There are definitely high-end grape juices, which on the label, they'll write pure grape juice. No additives, no preservatives. Those are much more expensive. Those are not as common as what's available on the market, because generally, again, if the product is bitter, which it usually is, then they don't have a choice. They have to add sugar. So today, we all rely upon the Mechaber, and the Ramah says it's good as well. And we use for Kiddush we use wine that is full of sugar. We are lenient because it does taste like it. Now I just want to point out something.
Rabbi, doesn't the Gemara talk about a wine that has spices in it? It has a different name. I don't remember the name.
Yeah.
Recall that they say you can't use it for Kiddush.
Okay, I'm not sure. I think it's all part of the same rule. It's not pure. It's not fit for the Nesachim. Has to be pure wine. Okay, I'm not sure. Now let's go. I want to go discuss some things related to this. First of all, let's discuss the minug of making kiddush in shul Friday night. I came across over here something that is very, very fascinating, which I'm not sure this is true, and it has to be studied if this is true. There is a minug, it's in Shulchan Aruch, and the Beis HaKnesses, we make Kiddush Friday night in Shul. Many shuls today do not do this anymore. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that if you have a shul where they make Kiddush Friday night, continue to do so. But if you're coming to make a new shul, you're establishing a new shul, and there is no minug, it would be better not to make Kiddush. That's Rav Moshe Psak Halacha. Why? Because the minhag of making kiddush in shul really is because there were aniyim. There used to be in ancient times poor people that lived in the shul in the side rooms, and Friday night they made kiddush after davening for those people who are going to be eating in the meal in the shul itself. So it became part of the davening. But being that today we don't have usually in shul aniyim living full time in the Beis HaKnesses, so there's no need to make kiddush. In fact, if you're making kiddush, it's problematic because kiddush needs to be made in a place where there is a su'udah, and there is no su'udah. You're not eating a meal, and we give a little sip to a child. So where then is the kiddush b'mokayim su'udah? So it's not. So we have to rely on minig avosin nebiyodenu is a takon of Chazal to make kiddush al hayayin, and even though it's true, it's not going to be done properly, where there will be a su'udah, it doesn't matter. It became a halacha that kiddush is made in shul for its own purpose and for its own reason. Something along those lines. He presents over here something that is very, very fascinating. There's more of divrei agada. We'll come back to divrei halacha in a few moments, but there's something with divrei halacha. The Gemara says that a person who takes large steps, who's rushing, who's running, there is a medical issue with always being in a rush. It diminishes a person's eyesight. It takes away 1/500th of a person's eyesight if a person runs too fast. Now, is this something which is true physically? Probably not. It's more of a divrei agada. And the Gemara then goes on to say, how does a person, what's the refuah, the antidote to heal your eyes for if you take large steps during the week, if you run? It's the Kiddush Friday night. When you make Kiddush Friday night, the yayin of Kiddush Friday night is the antidote, the refuah, for psia gasa, which causes a person to lose their eyesight. Now, this Gemara, many Poskim say, is not to be taken literally. It doesn't mean that Yayin, drinking Yayin by Kiddush, has any special medical property that's going to heal your eyes. And it doesn't necessarily mean that if a person is a professional runner, he's in the Olympics, he goes on races, doesn't mean that he's going to lose eyesight. It's something more spiritual. During the weekday, people are busy, and they lose their ability to focus on what's important in life. When it comes Shabbos, and you make Kiddush, and it's time out, and you turn off your smartphone, and you relax, Shabbos, this generation, there's never been a generation where Shabbos was a greater blessing. What is the greatest blessing of Shabbos in our generation? There is no social media on Shabbos. This is awesome. On Shabbos, there's no Twitter, there's no Facebook, there's no Instagram, there's no WhatsApp, there's no email. There is no communication on that device. It is so refreshing. They should make Shabbos twice a week to give everyone peace of mind. It's incredible. Shabbos gives you time to catch your breath, to reassess, to recalibrate your perspective on life. The Kiddush Friday night is what restores the illness that comes from running and pursuing nonsense the entire week. That's what Chazal said. And where is that found? In the Kiddush. Now, let's go a step further.
You have it in Kol Mekadesh Shvi, Posim Bo P'siach Tana, So Adin Bo Levorech.
Until you come, you Friday night, you make it beautiful. Now, what does this mean? So here we have a machlekes ha-poskim. This is very, very fast. What exactly is it about the kiddush Friday night that the yayin? So many say it means you have to drink. The refuah, I mean, this is not a real refuah. It means a refuah, a segula, but it's from Chazal. This is not something from a Hasidic Rebbe in the 21st century. This is the Gemara. This goes back 2,000 years. What's the refuah? The yayin. The yayin of Kiddush. What about the yayin of Kiddush? So most say it means to drink it, to drink the yayin. And from that comes a very important minhag. This is a very important, people don't even realize the reason for a minhag. When you make Kiddush Friday night, so do the people at the meal, do you give them a small amount of wine to drink from the Kiddush? So some do, some don't. Many people, they're not interested. The husband makes Kiddush, he drinks a roi revius. Lechatchila, you're supposed to drink the majority of revius. At least 1.6 ounces of wine from the Kois Shel Bracha, and that's it. And everyone is Yotzei the Kiddush. If the person who makes kiddush takes a teeny little sip, b'di'eved, you're also yotzei. If the person who makes kiddush drinks nothing, or nobody is yotzei. Somebody must drink at least a mashu of the yayin in order to be yotzei with kiddush. L'chatchila, the mekadesh should drink 1.6 ounces, or at least together, give everyone a small amount, together you'll have 1.6 ounces. Why do people distribute the kois of kiddush to all of the assembled in the bayis? So there could be many, many reasons. Number one can be very simple, in order to add up to 1.6 ounces. Sometimes the one who makes kiddush does not want to drink. He only wants to take a teeny, he wants to drink nothing, in fact. So someone's got to drink it, and l'chatchila, you're supposed to drink at least 1.6 ounces, which is very, very little. So if you give everyone a small amount to drink, together the combination of everyone at the table will add up to 1.6 ounces. Oh, l'chatchila, you were mekayim the mitzvah of kiddush, and 1.6 ounces of yayin was consumed. You want to be really machmir, drink a whole revius, 3 ounces. So if you'll give out wine to everyone in the bayis, oh, gevaldik, so you'd consume 3 ounces. You want to do even better? Koshel brok, drink the whole cup. So give out all the wine in the cup to everyone assembled, so that way the whole cup of wine will be consumed. That's one reason why you want to distribute the yayin, to guarantee that the shiur of Reviyas, or Rav Kois, or the whole Kois, is consumed by the assembled. Another reason why you would want to give out the Kois is because it's a Koshel bracha. It's a Koshel bracha. It's a cup of blessing. A koshel bracha, you drink, you don't deny yourself bracha. What's the bracha? Whatever it is, we don't know how these things work. A person makes kiddush Friday night, Shabbos is a holy day. Koshel bracha, everyone should drink from a koshel bracha. There's another reason why you give out the yayin. And this is probably, maybe even the most, maybe even the original reason why Friday night. And that's because everyone wants refuah, healing. The Gemara says, during the weekday, we have a tendency to rush. And when we rush, we lose 1/500th of our eyesight. Whatever that means, whether it's physically or whether it's spiritually, whatever that means. The refuah is the yayin shel kiddush. How do you get the refuah? So the assumption is, if you are in the audience, in your home, and your husband makes kiddush, and you're listening to kiddush, and you do not drink from that yayin, you don't get the refuah. In order to merit the refuah, the healing that the yayin shel kiddush brings for those that are rushing the whole week, you need to participate, you need to partake of the yayin. How do you partake of the yayin? You drink it. How much do you drink? A small amount. Just a teeny amount of that yayin Friday night will bring you refuah. You want everyone in your household to be healthy, have good eyesight. Eyesight, not just eyesight, physical eyesight, which of course that's critical, but have a good perspective on life. And to be zoicha to that refuah, you have to drink a small amount of yayin. So we have over here, yes?
Might there be a link between the ayin representing the number 70 and the letter ayin, which is both a gematria and means the eye?
Yeah, obviously. Yes, correct. Obviously. And how many words, by the way, are there in the Kiddush? There are 70 words in the Kiddush, right? Is that correct? There are 70 words in the Kiddush? From Yom HaShishi to the end, there are 70 words?
Haven't counted.
So you're right. Yayin, obviously, yayin is ayin. The letter ayin, the number 7. Yayin is bigamatria 70. And the letter for 70 is ayin, which means I. You're right. Obviously, there is a connection. So far, we've given here 3 reasons why it is the custom that when the husband makes kiddush, the Rosh Habayis makes kiddush, he distributes the yayin to all of the assembled. Number one, because you need to make the shiur of Roy Revius. Number two, it's a koshel bracha. Number three, everyone in the home wants refuah, healing, good health from this malady that Chazal tell us occurs during the weekday when we rush. Now, and how do you get the refuah? You have to sip. You have to partake.
You have to sip a No,
Koish Labracha means you partake from the Koish Labracha.
Oh.
You take a sip. This is a Koish Labracha. You want to take a little sip from the Koish Labracha because you want blessing. Or it's a Segula Refuah. Now here's the thing. There are other Paiskim that say something different. The way you get Refuah is not to drink the Yayin. It's to put the Yayin on your eyes. To put your finger into the Yayin and to put it on your eyes. And we do not do this. There's no one that I know.
Havdalah,
correct. Havdalah we do it. I also do it by Havdalah. I never knew why I was doing it. You do it by Havdalah. But not by Kiddush. And it's a little bit bizarre because the Gemara does not say Havdalah. The Gemara clearly says the Yayin of Kiddush, not the Yayin of Havdalah. It's a Chiddush to say that you want to say Havdalah is an extension of Kiddush. We don't do that. No one does that, but it's cited here in many of the earlier sources that when it means to get the segula of the refuah, it's to take the yayin and put the yayin on your eyes. And that brings you refuah. Again, we do not do that. We follow the opinion that says the way a person gets the segula is to sip, to partake a small amount of yayin. All right, fine. We've given three reasons. Now, here's an incredible chiddush.
Rabbi Levine? You cannot have any refuah on Shabbat.
Oh, excellent. Schita samimonim. Excellent. So it says inside.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make the point that across culture, certainly in Europe, the custom when somebody takes a drink is to say, to your health. And this is true in various
languages to your health.
Across Europe.
So there's something to it. Obviously, there's something to that. Friday night, Chazal say it brings, but all my kiddush, the yayin. Now, Rav Kahal made a very good point. There's a prohibition to take medicine Friday on Shabbos. The gzera, you may come to grind up ingredients. This is the prohibition. You're not allowed to have that. How then can Chazal tell us to partake from the yayin of kiddush as a refuah? So this is proof that the refuah here is not a physical refuah. It's more of a spiritual refuah. That when it says the person's eyesight is dulled when he runs, it doesn't mean physically, it means perspective. It's a refuah segulis, and a refuah segulis is permitted on Shabbos. Others want to say no, it can maybe mean there's an actual real refuah. It's only forbidden when you put the yayin, when you apply a medicine internally, you ingest the medicine, or you put a medicine on an open wound. When you put the yayin on your eyelids, on your eyelids, that's not called applying medicine. In order to be in violation of applying medicine, it has to be internal, either ingested or upon an open part of your body. The eyes, you don't put it on the pupil. You put it on your lids, your eyelids. That is not called application of medicine, which would be forbidden. Those are two answers to the question of a comment. Now, here's something which really blew my mind. This is very fast, and this is a new insight which blew my mind. This whole day, everything here is new to me, but this is something really is interesting. This minhag, we have this ancient minhag of making kiddush in shul. We make kiddush in shul. You go to an old shul, Young Israels, follow the nusach of the Young Israels. It used to be, today, the Young Israels is a free-for-all, many of the Young Israels. But when the Young Israel movement started, you had a very precise nusach. The nusach of it was an official nusach. Of Young Israel, it was from Germany, it was from Frankfurt. It was a very the minhagim of it was Nusach Ashkenaz and a very specific version of Ashkenaz of what you do, which included making kiddush in shul. And many of the Young Israels they still make their Young Israels say the daven Nusach Sfart, which is hilarious. But the old Young Israels all daven Nusach Ashkenaz and the old made kiddush Friday night as they did in all the old shuls. Why did they do that? So we gave this whole long because they were anaim. It says here in this sefer called Oitze Machmadim something shocking. It used to be back in the day, the time of Shulchan Aruch, people were destitute. They still are some people, Rachman Litzlan. They were dirt poor. And it was very common, for people to make Kiddush Friday night on bread. Not on Yayin, as it says in Shulchan Aruch. That if you don't have Yayin, so what do you make Kiddush on? You recite the Kiddush on your Lechem Mishneh. You wash. That's how some say the minute came that you wash first. By some Jews, you first wash. And then you make Kiddush. And then you beat the bread. Why do you wash first? Because that's how they did it in the olden days, because they were so poor. Who had wine? Who had wine? You had to be a billionaire to have wine. No one had wine. You were very poor. Beer, you can't make Kiddush on beer. You can make Kiddush on beer by day. Chamar Medina. There's no din of Chamar Medina Friday night. You don't make Kiddush on coffee, tea, and juice Friday night. There's no such thing. You make Kiddush either on Yayin or on Pas. By Shabbos day, you can make Kiddush on Chamar Medina. Havdalah, you can make on Chamar Medina. Dalit Koisois, you can do on Chamar Medina. But not Kiddush Friday night. Kiddush Friday night, it's either Yayin or it's Pas. And there's no in-between, period. And most people back in earlier times, when Shulchan Aruch was written, were very, very poor. And they did not have Yayin. And when they came home to make Kiddush, they washed and they said the Kiddush on a slice of bread. Lechem Mishnah, you had to be a gevir also to have Lechem. Who says you had Lechem Mishnah? One piece of bread, if you're lucky. A slice of bread. So what happened? People were very disturbed. Were poor. Were making Kiddush on Pas, and that was common. What about the Gemara that says Friday night there is a segula? Okay, we live in a world of segulas today. There's a skula that if you partake from the yayin of Kiddush, you'll have good eyesight. You'll have a good, a healthy perspective on life. What's going to be? Just because we're poor, we have to lose out on our health? What's going to be? So you know what they did? Come to shul. In shul, we're going to have yayin. And we're going to make Kiddush in shul on yayin. You know why? So everyone in the shul can come and dip their finger into the cup or can take a little teeny taste of the yayin. So everyone can be zoiche to the refuah that the yayin affords Friday night to restore a person's eyesight. That's the reason why they made Kiddush in shul. The common reason why they made Kiddush in shul, they'll tell you, is because there were poor people who lived in the shul. They lived. So what? So I have to go make Kiddush in shul for everyone? So when davening is over and I'm the rich and I go home, so the poor people will go into the back room, they'll make Kiddush and they'll have their own meal. I have to go wait for their Kiddush? Why do I want to go listen to their Kiddush? Let me finish davening, Aleinu l'shabeach, and let's say Kaddish Yassam, and I'll go home and eat. And you'll go and you'll eat. And you'll eat by making Kiddush, and I'll go home and eat by making Kiddush. I have to go incorporate your Kiddush into my davening? Excuse me. Who's interested? Who's interested in hearing your Kiddush? No, once you're making Kiddush already, so you'll tell me the answer. Oh, once you're making Kiddush, you give me all these lumish answers. Once you're going to make Kiddush, the sanctity of Shabbos, Kiddush, so make Kiddush already part of the davening. I get it. It transformed into bringing the Kiddush of the poor people into the davening itself because they lived there in the shul. All right, it's a very good technical answer. They got a much better answer. You know why they made Kiddush? Because no one had wine in the house. Everyone was very poor. And everyone was desperate for the refuah that the yayin provided. So in shul, they made Kiddush al hayayin to give everyone that refuah. And then when you can go home, you can make your Kiddush on your bread because you can't afford yayin. It totally changes everything. It opens up a whole new understanding of why they make Kiddush al hayayin in shul. Everyone should get the zuchus of the refuah, which the average person could not afford. It's unbelievable. This is an incredible insight into what they did in those days. Okay, now today, going back to some halach l'mayis, the Ramah says that some people are makbid to have yayin that is mamish fit to go on the mizbeach. However, in order to do this, it's extremely difficult because today almost every commercial wine that is sold is not pure. It almost doesn't exist. Every wine, even though it says that it's not mevushal. By the way, it's not mevushal. Wonderful. Not mevushal, you're opening up yourself up to a big nightmare, because if you have in your home a help, if you have a non-Jew living in your home and they touch the bottle of wine, you can pour it down the sink. Finished. Okay, once they open up the bottle of wine and a non-Jew touches it, finished. What about an irreligious Jew? Big machloikes apoiskim. You invite as a Shabbos guest, kiruv rechoikim, you invite a Shabbos guest, someone that's not yet fully religious, and he touches the open bottle of wine, what's the halacha? Big problem. Most rabbanim will tell you, try that they should not touch it, but if they touched it, it's okay. It's fine. Don't worry about it. They're Jewish. They're here for Shabbos. They're learning about Shabbos. It's A-okay. You don't have to be machmir. An irreligious Jew, we do not treat like a non-Jew after the fact. But lechatchila, it would be better that they should not touch a bottle of wine either. So that's the way you're opening yourself to a lot of problems about non-Jews touching the wine. But number two, it's almost impossible today to find in the commercial market a yayin that has absolutely no additives. Even though they may not add sugar. First of all, they do add sugar. They don't even tell you about it. They do add sugar. They add a small amount of sugar, a teeny amount of sugar. And even if you'll be certain there is no sugar, they add other ingredients. Because it's just too delicate. Pure grape juice is just too delicate to sell in the open market with all of the government restrictions and all that is required to be sold in a commercial market. It's just, you have to add sulfur. I don't know this. I read up a whole thing on this. It's almost impossible. The only way you can really have real yayin is to make your own grape juice. Who wants to pachka? Make your own. There are people that do this. There are many women that they make challis every Shabbos. That's much more complicated than making grape juice. Making grape juice is not just a big deal. You just buy some grapes. You buy a lot of grapes and you put it into some type of, device and you squeeze them.
They call it must.
You squeeze it yourself. You squeeze it yourself and you sift it and you put it through some type of sieve to remove all of the, all of the, whatever gets collected there, and you have real pure grape juice.
Yeah, try it at home and let us know how it works.
I'm not trying it. Sorry, I'm not trying this at home. If real
during
pure grape juice.
My grandparents used to make wine in the bathtub. That's what they did. They had bathtub gin, like they used to say, or whatever. But they had wine.
And you can freeze it, and then every Shabbos you can take out whatever you have, and you can have pure, unadulterated grape juice. That's really the only way you can be mekayim what the Rambam says. With all the bells and whistles, with absolutely no impurities. Now, then there's a mile of having what's called yayin yoshon, old wine, which means it has fermented, which basically means it has to go 40, why? I don't know what the number 40, that's what it seems, Chazal decide 40 days. That's an additional mile, because yayin yoshon is considered to be a luxury. It's something which is more choshev. I'm not all familiar with this. Open up the magazines. I've always noticed that in the magazines, the Mishpacha, Ami, all these magazines, they always have very elaborate advertisements for exotic wines. And they used to have on the radio. Is it the radio every Thursday night? There was these certain people that's their expertise. They explain all the nuances of all the different types of wine. Obviously, this is something which it's a very, very big business, and there's an enormous amount of interest and expertise in making wine, in the nuances of different types of wine, and how it intersects with halacha, with Friday night, and having what it says in the Gemara, of the Mizbeach, of the Nesachim, and which is pure, and this issue of Devash and Seor, and the chiddush of the Prima Gadim, which the Mishnah Berurah says is la halacha, there's no difference between sugar and dvash, which really changes everything, which creates an incredible chumrah. There's no difference between the two. We treat sugar the same way the Torah talks about dvash, which is a tremendous chiddush, because you would think that there's a very strong argument why that should not be the case. as I said already 5 times, Devash and Sa'ar are blacklisted explicitly in the Torah. Sugar is not mentioned. Sugar is just an enhancement. It just enhances the yayin, but it tastes like yayin. Yet the Prima Gadim says, wrong. There's no difference between sugar and devash. It's all the same. And that makes it, and even though the Beis Yosef in the Mechaber, he writes, we don't accept the Rambam, the Ramah, he backpedals. And he says, not so fast. If you can be machmir, like if you have good wine, if you do have good quality wine, it would be preferred to take into consideration what it does say in the Gemara, to accept the Gemara and to accept what it says in the Rambam. Now, a little vagado before we go further, and that is, what happens in this week's parasha? Noach comes out of the teva. What does he do? He does 2 things. The first thing it says, Vayiven Noach Mizbeach LaHashem. The very first thing Noach does is he builds a Mizbeach and he offers korbanos. He takes all the animals that he preserved, he nurtured, he guarded, he protected for an entire year, and he offers them as korbanos to Hashem on the Mizbeach that he builds. Vayorach Hashem Esreich Anichoyach, and Hashem enjoys, Hashem has satisfaction from the reach and ichoyach of what Noach does. Okay, next parasha. And then Hashem says, I have such reach and ichoyach, I'll give you the rainbow, I'm not going to destroy the world again. Okay, next parasha. Next item on the agenda. Vayita, vayochel Noach ish wadomo, vayita kore. He plants a vineyard, he produces wine, he drinks from the wine, and he gets, and he becomes intoxicated. Vayiskal b'soich ha'holoi, shem chom and yefes, they come, they cover him, chulu chulu, the whole story. So isn't that interesting? There are 2 things that Noach does when he comes out of the teva. A mizbeach and yayin. What do we do on the mizbeach? We pour yayin. Every single korban is accompanied by yayin. The yayin of Noach was no good. The yayin of Noach was a big problem. It led to a churban. First of all, al derech drush, why is it that every korban is accompanied by yayin? Why is that so? I mean, I always wondered about this. Where does that come from? What's going on over here? You'll say it's because, like, you're serving a meal. The Mizbeach is Hashem's table. We offer basar, and we have bread, and you need a beverage. What would you like to drink? Water? Like some water to drink? We'll charge you $5 for tap water. Or would you like to drink some yayin? Look at our wine menu. Like beer? Would you like, I don't know, all these exotic drinks? So Hashem's Mizbeach is a shulchan. We offer Hashem meat, we offer bread, and we offer wine. You would think the bread should come first, then comes the meat. I don't know, the order is out of order, but every korban has 3 parts. The animal, the bread, and the wine. There's a beverage, there is a carbohydrate, and there's a protein. This is the typical meal of a person. You have the proteins, the carbohydrates, and the beverage. It's all there on Hashem. Zeh ha-shulchon ha-shulifnei Hashem. Okay, that's pshat. That's a very simple approach. But there's something deeper. I believe that the yayin, I think a drush, and I want to tie this in, the yayin comes from Noach. Because when Noach came out of the teva, he brought Hashem a korban. And Hashem says, look at the sequence. He brought korbanos. He brought Hashem meat, animals. Vayorach Hashem esreich anichoyach. And Hashem's response was, Loi oisif oi lekalel es, I forgot the words, I'm not going to curse this world anymore. You're going to live. The world will not be destroyed. You're going to live. Lechem is life. Ki loy al halechem levado yichyeh ha'adam. When you bring Hashem a zevach, and Hashem as a reach nichoyach, the mincha is Hashem's response. The reach nichoyach led to Hashem saying, I'm not going to curse this world anymore. You're going to live. This world will survive. Life, that's bread. And then came the next part of the process, the yayin. Noach vayochel noach ish ha'adama vayita korem. He planted a vineyard. But something went wrong. Something went wrong in that vineyard. His perspective, this is not for now. He should not have done it first. He should have done something. He should have first planted, done other things. Okay, that's not a different story. But the bottom line is, this is what he did. He planted a vineyard yayin. And that yayin, it didn't go well. He got intoxicated and it led to terrible tragedy. When we bring a carbon, we go through the same process. We bring the bread, or we bring the zevach. The bread represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, our yearning that Hashem should find satisfaction in our zevach, and He should decree life. And then we attempt to proceed in life like Noach, but not make his mistake. We then offer yayin. We put yayin on the mizbeach. And the yayin on the mizbeach, if I'm not mistaken, see, I'm getting all mixed up. The yayin that we put on the mizbeach is not, I think, if I'm not mistaken, has to be, or lechatchila has to be fresh wine. Wine that's not, right, I think that's correct. And that would make a lot of sense. Not to be like, if I'm not mistaken, the yayin that we pour in the mizbeach may not be, has to be less than 40 days old. Has to be bedafka grape juice. Why? Because Noach drank from the wine and got intoxicated. That was no good. Noach should not have become intoxicated. In order to show that we're not going to make that mistake when we proceed to continue in our lives, we bring on the Mizbeach Yayin, like Noach did after the Zevach and the Lechem, but Yayin that's not Mishtaker. Yayin that's less than 40 days is poured on the Mizbeach. So we are really, every carbon that we bring is a reenactment of Noach, Zevach, Hashem's response of, the world will go on, will be life, and we proceed carefully, we tread carefully, not to make the same mistake as Noach, to proceed with the Yayin, Bedavka, Yayin that's not Mishtaker, less than 40 days old. When it comes to Kiddush, we make Kiddush, we also are reenacting, we also are making this connection. The way we show this connection is to link the Yayin to the Mizbeach. In other words, Noach's big mistake was what? Vayochel Noach ish ho'adama. What does it mean, vayochel? Lashon chulin, mundane. Noach, he threw off religion. Here I brought a carbon. Here I put on my big black hat, my strimal, my bekesha, and I go and I bring a carbon to Hashem. I thank Hashem for my survival. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, the show is over. Now let's get down to business. It's Monday morning, 9 o'clock. Stock market opens. It opens at 9:30, right? 9:30 opens. What time is the stock market? 9:30, 8:30? I don't know. Stock market opens. Religion? That's Saturday. Today is Monday. It's 9:30. Vayochel noyach l'shoin chulin. He got carried away with the mundane element of the ayin. In order to rectify that error, we take yayin that's only fit to go on the mizbeach, to show that the yayin is not yayin of chulin, it's yayin of kodesh. The yayin that we are going to use is going to be yayin that can only be poured on the mizbeach. There's no se'or, there's no devash, there's no sugar, it's not cooked. Because when we live in this mundane world and we tackle the chulin of this world, we yearn to sanctify it by connecting it to the mizbeach. And the way we connect it to show that it's eligible to go on the mizbeach is guaranteeing that this yayin would be fit to be poured as nesachim on the mizbeach. So they go together. There's nesachim that accompanies the mizbeach. That's one. But now that we have nesachim, we in turn, when we sanctify the Shabbos, we are also rectifying the mistake of Noach. And the reason why that there has to be truth to this idea is because of a Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says that Noach is Shabbos. What does it say about Shabbos? It's Shabbos, the day of rest. Vayonach bayoim hashevi'i. What does Noach mean? Rest. The whole essence of Noach is Shabbos. The Sfas Emes says that in the Teva, it was Shabbos a whole year. There wasn't 6 days of work and 1 day of Shabbos. In the Teva, it was like a work day, you have 6 days, and then Shabbos. No. The whole year, from beginning to end, was a Yoyma Arichta. It was one long Shabbos. The world was in a state of rest. The world was being destroyed. There was no creative labor in the world. Malacha is defined as creative labor. In the Teva, everything ceased. It was Shabbos. Noach is the essence of Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, we connect to Noach. Noach made a big mistake when it came to Yayin. He treated the Yayin as chulin. Shabbos is Kodesh. Vayikadesh es yom hashvi. Hashem sanctified Shabbos. To rectify the mistake of Noach on Shabbos, we take yayin that's only fit to be holy wine to be poured on the Mizbeach. Okay. So, Sach HaKol, we're out of time now. There's a lot more I want to do. Maybe we'll do tomorrow. I want to go talk about, whiskey Shabbos. There's a lot of fascinating stuff about whiskey Shabbos day. But the bottom line, let's just recap what we've done here today. Over here, we have a Gemara that tells us you have to have yayin that has to be fit to Mizbeach. There's something called the Mizbeach. Rambam elaborates the problem primarily is Devash and Sa'ar. We don't have that problem today, but we have sugar, the Prima Gadim, it's all the same. Halacha Lamaisa, we're Mekel. We reject this piece of Gemara. But B'dieved, B'lechatchila, the Ramah says, if you can, you should be Machmir. It's impossible to be Machmir commercially unless you make your own grape juice. Next, we discussed now the why there is a minhag to make kiddush on yayin Friday night. It all goes back to the segula of the eyes. The eyes, and people were poor, they didn't have yayin, they had mekadesh papas. That's one of the secret reasons that you're not going to find in any of the books to tell you why they made kiddush and shul on yayin, to give everyone that opportunity. And the third element is the dvar agada, is the connection between the teva, between the sequence of events, Zevach, Hashem's response, and then Noach's going forward with Yayin. We do follow the same steps, but we're makbid to put on the Mizbeach Yayin that's fresh, that's not intoxicating. And then the other Dvar Gada of why we make Bedavka Yayin is because why we use specifically wine that is fit for the Mizbeach in order to rectify the sin of Noach. The Gemara says, no, the yayin has to be fit to go on the mizbeach. It has to be yayin of kodesh, not to fall into that trap, especially that Noach himself represents Shabbos. Rabbi Yisrael, have a wonderful day. Be well. All the best to all of you.
Two short questions. All wines have added sugar, even though it doesn't say it on the bottle?
I don't know the answer to that. You have to ask them in the wine store. You have to ask them.
All right, second question. Where's the Gemara which talks about, in Gemara Shabbos it must be, you have to look at the candles and look at the kais of yayin.
Oh, so that, that's
to get relief.
I have to find that for you. That's one. You're supposed to look. It says you're supposed to. I don't know if it says it in the Gemara. You're supposed to. The Gemara. You're supposed to look. There are 10 things you're supposed to do when you make kiddush. You're supposed to look at the yayin. Look at the kais. You're supposed to gaze. The candles by Havdah, by Friday night.
Friday night.
Yeah.
That's the solution for the eyes which can get them before.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
To restore the eyesight.
Yeah, to restore the eyesight that was lost when we run.
Yeah.
That's the Gemara.
That's part, yeah, okay.